was the night of the Passover, and Jerusalem was crammed full of people. However, Jesus knew that there would be a place for them to eat their evening meal. As we heard in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament passage today, the Passover celebration was commanded as a remembrance of God's gracious hand to the Hebrew peoples as their flight, in their flight from Egypt. So I want you to kind of think about, imagine the upper room that night. The disciples come in to the space, and the lamps are lit, casting the kind of shadows onto the tables set before them. And if we're to believe the great painters, they have accustomed seats. Jesus in the middle, and John on one side of him, and Andrew and Peter on the other. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this meal with you, this Passover with you, before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." There's a bowl of water there to wash hands. It's a ceremonial thing. It's like what we're going to do in a few minutes. A custom that was an integral part of this meal for Jewish people. And it's why in most sacramental churches like ours, the priest's hands are washed before touching the holy things. People kind of always ask about these kinds of things that we wear and the things that we do around the table. And they all have some meaning. They all have some thing that comes from the scripture and the story of the people of God. Before Jesus is a plate of matzah. That's the Hebrew word for unleavened bread. And the bread is unleavened because it signifies their hurry to leave Egypt. There wasn't time to let the bread rise. There were also bitter herbs there to remind them of the harsh life of slavery that they came from, and salted water to remind them about the tears shed during their oppression. There's also wine there. Anglicans like that. There's also wine there, four cups actually, they would drink from that night. The cup of salvation, the cup of plagues, the cup of redemption, and the cup of praise. And each one of them signifies one event of the Passover remembrance. The blood from the lamb that they are eating would get marked on the doorposts to remember that terrible night in Egypt when the plague wiped out all the firstborn except the Jewish families who had marked their doorposts with the blood. God passed over their houses. Jesus, the master, he doesn't sit for long. He gets up and he takes off his outer robe, so he's just got his tunic on, gets a bowl and some water, and he gets down in front of Matthew, and he picks his feet. Now, you have to understand, the foot washing in that society was something that was kept for the lowest slave in the household. That's who washed your feet, because the roads were filthy with animal things, and so they would come in and take their shoes off, and their feet would get washed. But here's Jesus immediately getting down in front of Matthew to wash his feet. He becomes the servant, demonstrating for us a ministry of service. And the others are shocked. Why are you doing this? When he gets to Simon Peter says, no, this is not right. Lord, I should be washing your feet. And Jesus says, Peter, brother, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. Unless you see me as a servant, then I cannot serve you. And I have to serve you, because that is my calling. And when he was done, Jesus returns to his seat and he reclines at table. I love that recline at table stuff. We sit on chairs. they kind of lay on the elbow and ate. Most of the disciples are thinking at that point about Moses and the plagues and the Passover lamb and the people's flight into the wilderness and Yahweh's great provision for them. And one of them, though, Judas, is distracted. He's thinking about what he's going to do with the money that he will be given and how he will earn it. Judas has been to the officials, and in Luke, it tells the story of his actions. And earlier in the day, when Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was a number of the 12, he went away and conferred with the chief priests and the officers about how he might betray him to them. And they were glad, and they agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him. So at the table that night, Judas is not paying much attention to what's going on at the moment because he's got his mind set on something else. And Jesus says quietly, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me, in this dish of tears, will betray me." And Judas at that moment looks down and he sees the bitter herbs in his hand and his hands in the bowl, and quickly withdraws his hand, hoping that no one would notice in the darkness. And the disciples are afraid because of what Jesus said, and they begin to argue with each other about who it might be. And everyone is asking, is it me, Lord? Am I the one who's going to betray you? Simon Peter leaned in close to the Lord and said, "Who is it? Who is it, Lord?" And Jesus answered quietly, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." And so when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered him, and Jesus said to him, "Whatever you're going to do, do it quickly." And Judas scurries off to do the deed. The bitter herbs bring tears to their eyes. In Hebrew, they are called karoset. And the bitterness holds a particular meaning for Jesus, for this is the same night that he was betrayed. The same night that he was to be abandoned, the same night that he was to be arrested, to be mocked, to be tried by those called holy, the same night that he was to be flogged. While they were still eating the slaughtered lamb, Jesus took the unleavened bread and lifted his eyes toward heavens. And some of you have heard me pray this prayer. If you go to the church in the old city in Jerusalem, they do this in Hebrew, and I cannot do it in Hebrew. So you get it in English. "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. Everything in the heavens and on the earth is yours, and we thank you for the grain from which this bread has been made." And then he gave it to them. He broke a piece off, the first piece off of the bread represents the sacrificial lamb, what they call the afkomen. And it's set aside to be consumed at the end of the meal. And it's why you see your priest in many Anglican circles break the priest's host and leave a piece in the dish until the end of the meal. And then he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body that is given for you, broken for you." So they go through the meal, and the meal's almost finished, but their third cup, the cup of salvation, of redemption, symbolizes the blood of the Passover lamb. And Jesus lifts it up, and again he says that prayer, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. Everything in the heavens and on the earth is yours." And we thank you for the grape from which this wine has been made. And then he said to them, drink this cup, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, in a few minutes, all of us, we're going to come and we're going to eat this bread and that is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will drink the cup of blood. And I pray that we will not ever make it so small as to be just a memorial. Something to remember, because it is much, much more than that. This is the Lord's Supper. Jesus took the traditional supper of the Passover lamb and he made it a new meal for you and for me. He gave us a new meaning to an ancient practice. And for us, it represents freedom not from slavery to man, but slavery to sin. Freedom not bought with the blood of a lamb, but bought with the blood of God's one and only Son, whom he loves. So when we come and take it, please don't come to the table lightly or irreverently. It's not ordinary. Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And when you receive the cup, it represents Jesus' blood that was literally poured out upon the ground for us, dripped from his wounded side, from his hands, and from his feet, for us, for you. Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter for us. Know that you are not just receiving something ordinary here. We call this Holy Communion for a reason. It's something so precious, it's something so powerful that it actually has the ability, if we allow it, it has the ability to radically alter our day, moment by moment, to heal us, to restore us, and to make us whole, if we allow it. And we need to come to the table expecting that, expecting something different to happen to us. And we commune with each other as we come to the table, but even more significantly, we are communing with God. We will be in communion with Yahweh, the Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe. And it is the sacrifice of Jesus that opens that door for us. God with us. So the Holy Communion is actually both the instrument and the vehicle of God's grace and mercy to us. And as I finish, just let me return to the beginning where Jesus tells them this is his last meal with them on earth. And it would have been sad to hear, but we don't want to kind of get caught up in the grief, because we'll actually miss what Jesus says here. He says, I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it together with you in the kingdom. Everything that transpired was done intentionally by Yahweh in order to create a way for the disciples, and through them, a way for us to share with Jesus at the Lord's table in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? This is one of those crossover moments where we get to actually touch the kingdom. And my Spanish friends say it's todo en importante. Please pray with me. Be present with us today, O Lord Jesus, as our great high priest, as you were present with your disciples on that last Passover night. Be known to us in the breaking of the bread of sacrifice and the sharing of the cup of salvation. And remind us as we wash each other, as we serve each other, of your willingness to kneel before them and serve them. And send us, Lord, into this dark world as lights in the darkness, that others will come to know and experience your great love. And we ask this in the holy name of he who died for us, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.